Okay, quick introduction, then we'll talk about the project and the challenges and why we did this. Then the including the evolution of the project from something that was funded by Sarah, very poorly designed originally by me, but rescued by a wonderful undergraduate student who is really bright, who is Jennifer Simons here. Quick evaluation and then an example on a dairy farm near Lincoln, Nebraska. So it says a team activity. Kristen Harms is a high school teacher at Norris High School, so we were really close to the ground, working with real people. It was hard to choose segues because there's so many of them here. You try and tie your ideas into the previous talks, but telling stories, that's what we're going to do. I've got about three of them here. Researchers and farmers working together. One of the best examples, nothing to do with the talk, but was part of a sustainable ag field day 15, maybe 20 years ago at Carrington, North Dakota, where they had a tour of the plots. The researchers were there, but there were farmers from their advisory council on the station telling the story at each of the stops. I thought that was fantastic. Never seen it since then, but it seemed like a good idea. The third little segue is my sister, who teaches ag in the classroom out in Puyallup, Washington, and I keep hounding her about, what do you have in your curriculum about sustainability? And, well, they lost their animals. They couldn't have the kids petting little pigs or carrying a rabbit around because of all the paranoia about germs and all that stuff. So she had really slick materials from the apple industry, from the wheat growers, and from the poultry folks. Beautiful, slick, easy to use, nothing to do with sustainability, in my opinion. So those are the segues. Let's move on here. These were the topics of interest chosen by teachers who obviously are in the classroom. They know what they need to teach. They need to fit things into their existing curriculum, much of which is dictated by the State Department of Education. So we, in the first step, we did what I thought was going to work, invite ag teachers in, have them work with us for about a week and plan each a project. They were really slick. They had readings, typical, you know, boring print stuff, study questions and activities. We did that for 2 years. It totally bombed. Nobody used it. So fortunately, Jen Simons came along and said, well, let's try some different things. And Kristen, who is a marvelous high school teacher, had decided that they were not used. What would be used? So we asked teachers, you know, what do you want? What topics do you want? What kinds of materials? Well, we've got this curriculum. It's tight. We've got to have something we can pull off the shelf or go into a hot link and use immediately. That's what they wanted. So we said, okay, let's try it. And I really want to compliment the Sarah North Central people for being very patient to let us take a 2-year grant and stretch it into, I think, eventually about 4.5 years with no cost extensions. So we finally got some good stuff here. So we learned they need short, relevant stuff, video formats. We decided to have the teachers select farmers to be interviewed. And that was good because they knew the farmers in their area. They could find people who were articulate, who could relate science with practice. So they, with some help, chose students who were also articulate. We decided to have students do the interviews rather than us or rather than even the teachers. What about students interviewing the farmers? Because students would identify with that, and it turned out to be pretty good. And we paid them out of the grant a small honorarium to the farmers, obviously, for their time, to the teachers for organizing, and even to the students. And I don't think students ever get paid for doing anything. So that was kind of neat, a little twist. And again, Sarah was very flexible on this. So the teachers chose the topics, the students to do the interviews, and we had 10 of these video interviews. We also learned to use the IT people in our own organization. I'd always been trying to do this stuff myself because I didn't know who they were or what they did. But we found these wonderful people sitting in another building, and we were only connected by the plumbing, sort of like the agronomist and the entomologist here in this meeting. They came up with these 10 topics. The students designed the questions, did the interviews. We had the same folks who did the 45-minute recordings to do the editing, and they did a great job, although Jen Simons is the one who went through the videos and picked out second by second what she wanted in there, and they put in the segues and music and all those good things. So 10 topics. They turned out to be really good on sustainability. really up to date on what people were doing in the field. You'll see one of these if it all works. And the one you'll see is Dan Rice, who's a dairyman. He'll describe his operation where they brought four small cow herds together to something that was economically really viable, and then how they have a triple bottom line, so to speak, which is milk, of course, and the meat, and then manure, the three. So this is just an example on a very cold day in February in Nebraska filming. This is not the dairy. This is another integrated crop livestock operation east of Lincoln. Each module then that we put online and made available, both through our department, through our e-library, and the State Department of Education, were five-minute, quick-hitting, edited sequences that a teacher could use in classroom to stimulate discussion. Behind this, there's the total 45-minute interview, also online. They can assign this to students to do at home and come in ready to talk. So this way they can get feedback on the video, and we provided additional resources. We had some money left, and we started thinking, okay, these are good about dairying, this is good about composting, this is great about making cheese, but there's an awful lot of other issues out there that are integrative, that go across these interviews. So we chose 10 sort of overview topics that are listed here and picked out pieces of the initial interviews and put these together in 10 more modules, and they're all listed here too, including broad issues like labor, like soil health, passion for agriculture, people showing why they were in farming, why it was so exciting to them, ties to the community. These are just examples. So here's an example. I was going to show this, but this hot link didn't work, so we'll go on through. A quick evaluation here was done by Justin Van Wart, one of our postdocs. He sent out questionnaires about the series, plus all the links to all the ag teachers in Nebraska. And how do you get people to respond? They're busy. It was December. It was the end of the grant. Well, he said, you got to offer them a prize. So we offered two Kindles by drawing for those who responded. So we did get 40 teachers out of the 130, I think, in Nebraska to respond. Small demographics, half were teaching for quite a while. Quite a few were younger. Many were women, which is a great change in demographics for us. 40% said there was not enough stuff out there. We knew that. That's why we did the project. 80% said, hey, these are useful. We'll use them. And the majority felt students would adopt the ideas from them. So our conclusions were that these modules have potential for stimulating discussion in the classroom, bringing some new information, having the credibility of farmers rather than somebody who's a step or two removed from that. They, I hope, reflect the current state of the art, at least on those farms. And then they give viable models, unlike the stuff that my sister uses out in Washington that are really large corporate industrial models that small farms, moderate-sized farms can succeed because these are people who are doing it. This is the website for the series, and I think this is going to work, and we will see. I may have to call on somebody who's under 30 here to help. Is there something that... there we go. Yeah. Thank you. Just got to push the right button. I usually pull students out of my class. But can you hear in the back? Okay.
Hello, I'm Rick, and I'm Ben. Today we're here at Prairieland Dairy, first of all, to talk to the general manager, Dan Rice. First off, share a little about the background of your farming operation.
Prairieland Dairy was formed in the year 2000 when my wife and I and our two children came from Pennsylvania to the area of the Gilbert Brothers. We all put our house together to gain efficiency to the scale and also to offer opportunities to the next generation. Currently we have 1,400 cows, and in 2005 we brought in two neighboring partners, and that got us to the size that we are today. We also operate two other businesses here as well.
What is your philosophy of Prairieland Dairy?
Philosophy of Prairieland Dairy is one of cooperation. We were formed on a lot of four small dairies coming together to work as one. And we continue to form those partnerships as we move forward, whether it's with our suppliers or people that we work with neighbors. We're continuing to partner with hospitals, schools, those types of things to improve our environment and displacements in the land.
As I understand, Fairland Dairy consists of a three-pronged business plan: Fairland Dairy, Fairland Gold, and Fairland Food. Can you go into a little bit more detail about each one of those?
Yeah, the reason for the three companies is because we look at the dairy cattle and say she gives us three things. We call them the three M's: meat, milk, and manure. And so we have three companies who market those to the best of our ability. The meat is marketed through Fairland Foods. The milk is marketed through Fairland Foods. Fairland Gold is our company that we set up to manufacture and sell our milk products. We just use the cow's natural ability to break things down. We call this the farm of buds. When we feed the cow, we feed the buds in the cow rumen, and she gives us some more, and we feed the buds in the manure to make compost. We start off with making a certain recipe to make the compost, and then we monitor the oxygen, the moisture, and the temperature of those rows on a daily basis, and we turn the compost whenever it needs, whenever those things get out of balance.
What are your typical markets?
Our market for our dairy products are local. We market to Lincoln and Omaha, and we really try to market to grocery stores mainly, and that's just where we can move that. Our goal is to move 12,000 pounds of milk every day, so we have to move that volume and try to get to the grocery stores. On our compost side, our market share are mainly landscape developers. They will take our compost and mix it with maybe topsoil or something else to make special products for landscape.
What is the most challenging thing about Fairland Dairy?
I think every year is a different challenge for us. Recently, it's been the cost of input and with the higher feed prices. It's been extremely challenging, but that's probably the most challenging thing for us.
How do you see conditions changing in the future?
The dairy industry is changing. We're getting more consolidation all the time. We're getting larger farms, more specialized farms, and we feel at Fairland Dairy that we can carve out a niche in local marketing. That's what we try to do here in marketing to the Lincoln area.
What things are you doing on your farm that you would describe as sustainable?
Every product that we get out of the cattle, we try to use the best that we can. We use our water, as I said, four times. We cool the milk with the water. We then use that water to water the cow. We then use it to flush our barns, and then we use it for irrigation. So our water usage is a great picture of sustainability. We use the heat that we get off the milk to heat the parts, milking parts of the cow. So that's.
Okay, I wanted to show the credits at the end, but that's all right. You can imagine what they look like. Credits certainly to these Nebraska farmers that we interviewed. By the way, the demographics of the interviewers, I think there are 7 out of 10 were conducted by young women, which is good. That reflects the classroom, which is a little bit different than when I took ag some years ago. Here are the people that did the work, especially Jen, who did a fantastic job. Then Mike Cam, who complained bitterly because he was out in the cold, but did a good job. Justin, who did the evaluation. All I did was get the grant. Then we have to put this disclaimer in. USDA does not necessarily believe in sustainability. I guess that's what it says, doesn't it? Just briefly, a pitch for agroecology here. Obviously, production, that's where you hook students. They believe in production and big stuff. They like to see a 1,400 cow dairy. It's economic. The guy talked about triple bottom line from his particular dairy. Environmental issues, recycling the manure, nutrients, and then social stuff. And you know, I noticed something today that I hadn't seen. I've looked at this probably many times. Right behind the student was the thing that said, I love my wife. Family values. Great stuff. Thank you very much.
One minute
for questions. Wow. Yes. Missed the website. Passel, P-A-S-S-E-L, which is Plant Soil Science Library. PASSEL.UNL.EDU. And that's hot. It'll go straight there. One more quick one.
This is geared toward high school students.
I'm sorry.
This is geared toward high school students.
Yes. Focus is high school students. That's what the grant was for. But we've used it in our agroecology classroom stuff for seniors at the university, too.
Do most of the students go on to become farmers?
No. No, not that many farmers. They go into all kinds of stuff. We were discussing that during the business meeting here before the session, that the demographic is changing. And I think we really need to think more about urban audiences. We just interviewed for a position for urban horticulture in our department. So we have to think about where the people are. Everybody's concerned about food. I think we should sort of rename many of our courses soils and food systems, or agroecology and food systems, which we've done. Thanks.
Thank you.